And this morning, it's a privilege for me to introduce to you Anthony and Cindy Zappacosta, who are going to be talking about a recent trip that they made to Zambia. And we're going to be sharing about that and some other great things. They have three children. And Anthony and Cindy, please come. We welcome you in the Lord's name today.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, it's great to be here. It's been a while, I think, since the Gideons have been to Bethel. So it's, I've got to say, this is the largest church in Sault Ste. Marie, regardless of evangelical. So it's great to hear. We're encouraged being a part of another church in Sault Ste. Marie, what God is doing here through this church, this body of believers. So it's encouraging to be here. So I did want to clarify, I know my name's in the bulletin, but I am going to call up Cindy. She's got some great stories to share about our time in Zambia. So she's going to come up. And so what I hope to accomplish today, in and around 40 minutes, is I'm going to tell you about the Gideon ministry, where it's been, where it's going, what God is doing in this ministry. I'm going to talk about our Zambia trip, which was last August. Cindy and I spent 3 weeks in that country, sharing the gospel, planting seeds, and just seeing God give the growth. And then we're going to dive into God's word. We're going to talk about the Great Commandment, and we're going to talk about the Great Commission and how those two work together. Gideon Ministry, 100 years and counting. It's been around a long time. I do want to acknowledge our local Gideons. There's about 3,000 of us in Canada. There's about 9 here in Sault Ste. Marie. My wife and I are here. Also present with us is Sven Swantessen is here with us, and Paul and Mark Nemi. So do want to acknowledge them as part of our team here in Sault Ste. Marie. What's happened with the Gideons? I would say the last probably 3 to 5 years, some big changes. Men and women together, husband and wife, women alone, men alone, join this ministry. If you're a believer, you've got a passion for the lost, and you want to share your faith, and you would love the ability to have free scriptures at your disposal, you'd want to join this ministry. We are in more countries than we've ever been before. One of the big changes the ministry has done is we're starting to partner with churches on the ground in countries where we've never been. Starting to partner with ministries that are on the ground in countries where we've never been. Zambia would never have happened had we not partnered with the Evangelical Association there in that country. So when we showed up, 200 churches were ready for 19 Canadians and hit the street, share the gospel, and let God do the rest. Our mission, I mean, if you're here today, I mean, we sang some songs already this morning. If you're here and you're a believer, you know that this word saves. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you believe that, then for Cindy and I can tell you this, we are not missionaries, but you would go, you would spend your money and travel across the globe to a country where they don't have access and can't afford copies of God's word, and you would say, well, I'm going to share the gospel, and I'll let God decide who he's going to save. But it's just in that obedience to know the word saves. He's entrusted us with it. So you become a Christian, you have the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. We are all missionaries. I hate to break it to you. So if you are here and you are in Christ, you are a missionary where God has placed you. Some of the neat things that are happening when I talk about changes is phones and technology, right? The Gideons have come up with a New Life app, it's called. So newlife.ca, you would go on, you would download a free copy of God's Word. A ton of other resources. It's in 8 languages right now, and I think the count today is about 20,000 downloads all over the world. So people that do have a phone and don't have access to God's Word can download it for free. Sendme.ca, another initiative. So young people that have a burden, that want to witness to their friends and want to share their faith, they can register, whether it's themselves or through a youth pastor, can go online, create an account, and have free gospel, and we have some samples about there, Gospel of John tracts, for free, shipped to their house, and they can use that as a witnessing tool. Gideons have been very busy just the past 12 months. We were in Russia at Sochi. We had a team there on the streets in Russia sharing the gospel, giving out free copies of God's word. We had 600 churches in Brazil leading up to the World Cup. We had 50 Canadians that were there on the street, 12 cities, 600 churches, like I said, senior homes, hospitals, orphanages on the street, planting seeds, sharing the gospel. This fall, Vietnam, Venezuela, China, the Gideons are probably doing 5 or 6 trips a year. And I think it's kind of neat that we've come here, and I mean, whether it's Desmond Norris or Peter Norris or Jennifer, that's been to Zambia already. So, I mean, the connections just this church has with the country. I can't tell you we had any connections. For us, it was like, I'm a banker, Cindy's a teacher. When could we go on one of these trips? And we prayed about it, and we said, God, we'll commit to a trip. You tell us when, and you make it happen. And I can't begin to tell you, if you're going to do God's will and you pray about it and you make a commitment, he will get rid of anything that stands in your, what you think is a barrier to going on a trip like this. We have 3 boys. We didn't think it'd be possible to leave them for 3 weeks in the summertime, but we did it. And the primary reason why we went is Cindy being a teacher, to have that time in the summer. But what about the Sioux? What are we doing in Sault Ste. Marie? I know Bruce had mentioned he got his New Testament in grade 5. And so we are no longer in the public school. So even the consent cards that were going home, that is complete. And, you know, where one door closes, God opens another. And we've had the privilege of partnering with ISCF now. So the last 2 or 3 years, we've talked to youth pastors, Dan Collins and Jeremy Edgar, and partnered with ISCF groups in high school. So in the last 3 years, we've been in Decorah, Superior Heights, and most recently White Pines. And I can tell you this, in those 3 times, those distributions, where we were there with cupcakes and ISCF students and giving out God's word, we gave out more Bibles in just those 3 occurrences than we have in the last 10 years in the public schools. So what, one door closes, God opens another, and just tremendous time. So we're still in the Catholic schools, so we still have the opportunity to go right in the Catholic schools in grade 4 and share the gospel, and it's wide open for us, and we give them a copy of God's word, so we're excited to do that. I mean, obviously, we're in the hotels. And our big banquet, our fundraising banquet, so I know some of you are longtime supporters, so November 14th this year, we will be at the Marconi Friday night, our fundraising banquet, and that's that opportunity to come and contribute, because we do need fun. We need prayer, we need money, and we need people. And we're excited this year. We had the privilege of listening to Matt Graham. Now, I don't know if Matt Graham, does that name ring a bell? He's a Teen Challenge graduate, an alumni that's working now and has a family. And just a tremendous singer and guitar player. And we heard him play at our church, and we said, Matt, you got to come to our banquet. So he's coming this year. He's going to be our music. We got a guest speaker coming from Guelph, from our home office, so we're excited about that. I'm going to call my better half up now, and we're going to share a little bit about Zambia, and maybe we can advance to that first slide. The only thing I'd want to start by saying, I've been on a lot of trips in my life, very memorable trips and recreation, and I can't tell you that there was nothing like this trip, because it was God's will, and we knew when we left that country, and what we saw on the streets, we saw people come to Christ right before our very own eyes, and when we come back, and we got 130,000 seeds planted in that country, we know it'll never be the same. And so God's will, eternity impacted, and we come back, and there are no other trips quite like it that I've experienced.
Thanks for having us here. I see lots of people we know, and my aunt and uncle. It's great to see you, Cheryl and Elgin Johnson. So here's a picture you see of our Gideon team. There were 19 Canadian Gideons. So most of us have jobs. We have lives. This is a volunteer organization. We paid our own way. We do have a paid staff home office. The really neat thing about Gideons is every dollar that's contributed towards this ministry goes 100% towards purchasing Bibles. So we Gideons pay the cost to run it all. So we paid our way. 19 Canadians here from BC to Newfoundland. We met at the airport in Toronto. Didn't know, we knew one couple, the paid staffer. And but we all had the same passion. We just wanted to serve the Lord. And like Anthony said, Anthony and I are not missionaries. We were on the plane to Africa, and I said to Anthony, we have no business going on this trip. What are we doing? We don't know what we're doing. But, you know, we had the Holy Spirit living in us, and everything that happened wasn't because of Anthony and I. So if you can just go to the next slide. So this is what we brought with us. This is the actual Bibles that were there. We had them shipped ahead of time, 100,000 English Bibles, because that is their national language. And then we brought 30,000 in their tribal languages. And you can see a little bracelet there. We brought bracelets for the kids to share the gospel message. And like Anthony said, we partnered with their evangelical fellowship. So how it would work was, in the morning, we had a big bus, and the bus would start driving us around, dropping us off in twos, threes, fours, fives, and you would walk into a church, and sometimes the church would have three people there, and sometimes the church would have 150 people there, and you would go out and walk the streets and just share Christ with the people there. Next slide, please.
I've never been to any other part of Africa, and Zambia is actually doing quite well relative to the other countries in that continent, and yet 86% of the people there live below the poverty line. AIDS is prevalent, unemployment is prevalent, drug, alcohol use. Cindy and I have never witnessed so many times to drunk men in that country, and we saw the Holy Spirit convict these guys on the street. Next slide, please. Here's a very typical church in Zambia. Now, there are wealthy churches. We saw that. We saw two extremes. But here was one church. So we're showing up for a morning session and showing up at this church. And this particular day, we had a very young group join us. And one of the fellows here, you can see, he's kind of a tall guy. He's got the hat. He's got the white hat on. His name was Shakiwi. And this is such a great story. And that's the one thing Cindy and I had no idea. Like, when we go into that side of the world, we didn't think we'd have an impact. It was more like preach the gospel and trust God for the results, right? Save who you want to save, and we're just there, and we're being obedient. But we didn't realize the impact we would have on these young people. So we got these young Christians that are excited because we've got these Canadians coming, and they've got Bibles, and we're going to go out with them. And in many cases, none of them had shared their faith. And Shakiwi was one of those guys, right? So I think he was around 18. And so he comes out with us, and for the first hour, he just stood beside me. So he listened to the gospel message, saw me share it, pray the sinner's prayer, everybody, eyes closed, and not sure at that point, but he's watching. And so an hour later, Shakiwi approaches somebody and just starts sharing the gospel, right? So he's listened to it now for an hour. He says, I can do this. It's just God's word. You're just sharing God's word. And so the first person he approaches just breaks down, crying. And Shakiwi leads this person to the Lord. And he goes back to his church. So once our morning session, we're out of Bibles, and we go back to the church. And Shakiwi stands up because they're saying, can you share any evidences of God's grace today? And Shakiwi jumps up and says, I led the first person I've ever led to Christ, and I didn't know I could do it. And he goes, it's just God's word. It's just sharing God's word.
Can we have the next slide?
And this was the church here, so this was one of the few that we got there. There was a lot of folks waiting for us, and so very exciting, very privileged, and I can't tell you what it means, though. When you go on the other part of the world, so you leave the comforts of Sault Ste. Marie, and you get on a plane, and it takes you 30 hours to get there, and you show up, and someone looks at you, another believer on the other side of the world, and says, do you know we've been praying for 2 years that you guys would be coming, that you would bring scriptures? Like, that's got to have an impact on you, right, as a believer? This is God's prayer. These are prayers from these folks. 2 years. And then we show up and they're saying, God answers prayers. Because it's his will that he'd want to see people saved in that country.
We have the next slide. So here's a group of kids. They were amazing. We saw so many kids in Zambia. And like we had said earlier, we were there for 3 weeks. And that doll is the only toy we saw in 3 weeks. We saw homemade balls. We saw kids trying to make themselves little cars. That was the only toy we saw. And I don't think we mentioned it. A big reason to bring the Bibles, of course, is to share Jesus with people. But the Christian churches, and Zambia claims to be a Christian country, the Christian churches don't have Bibles. In many churches, the pastor is the only one with the Bible. Well, how can you grow in your faith without a Bible? So we weren't able to bring Bibles for children, but if you can advance to the next slide. This little guy's got the bracelet on. So it's if you're familiar with the wordless book, I would tell a story, and I'm a teacher, love kids, and you would start talking to three kids. Next thing you know, there's 10, 15, 20, 30. Sometimes there could be 50 kids. And so we would just go through the gospel message. And when we went, we did not sugarcoat it. God is really clear in his word. The black bead, all of us have sin. And we would just tell them simply, who has sin? Well, they all knew. And how much sin is in heaven? None. And this is a problem. But Jesus' blood, the red bead, can take away our sins. And when he does, the white bead represents how we're made whiter than snow. And the yellow bead is that if you trust Jesus to take your sins away, one day you'll be in heaven and the streets are lined, paved with gold like the yellow bead. And your new life in Christ for the green bead. If you can move to the next one. So Zambia claims to be a Christian country, and Craig, our leader, said, Christianity is a mile wide, but an inch deep. They all say, oh, I love Jesus. I know Jesus. And we'd say, great, if you died tonight, where would you go? Heaven. Well, how do you know? And we hear all kinds of different answers. I'm a good person. I was baptized. So they know the name Jesus, but they don't know much more. So because they're a Christian country, this was a pregnancy clinic. You can't tell because you can see all their backs. But lots of AIDS, lots of women left alone raising children. But I was able just to walk in. They welcomed us in. I shared the gospel right there, handed out Bibles to all of those people, and invited them to pray with me. If you could go to the next slide. So we would just walk the streets, and the streets were just made of dirt. They didn't have street names. It was only through God that we found, our bus driver found his way to these churches we went to. And we were walking down the road, and we met the guys that ran this little market, and we led them to Christ and just kept going down the road and went around the corner, and we met Agnes. So the lady with the pink head covering on, she was from the church, Mrs. Zulu, and the lady behind her as well was from the church, but Agnes has the black head covering, and she has the baby on her back. And I approached Agnes, and we used the same line when we walked up to people. Many of them had never seen white people before, so they were eager to see what we had to say. I walked up to Agnes and shook her hand and said, my name is Cindy, and I'm from Canada. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? And she cried. And I shared the message of hope that only Jesus can bring. And Agnes right there prayed and asked Jesus to be her Lord of her life. And the wonderful thing about going out and partnering with the churches is the Bible's pretty clear that he wants us to make disciples, and someone needs to lead these people. So when we went out with the churches, they would take people's names and their address and plug them into the local church so that they could be discipled. So the two ladies that were with us found out all of Agnes's information, but they also found out that Agnes's husband had abandoned her, and she and her baby had not eaten, and her baby was crying. And Anthony had candy on him, and he gave the baby a candy, and I had a bottle of water, and little baby was guzzling the water. And we were able to go back to the church, to this little store, and we spent just a few dollars to get Agnes the food and that she needed. And that was such an amazing thing, because it just wasn't safe for us to take money out and be buying things. And on our way to the store, we met a woman named Charity. And Charity was walking down the street, and she stopped to talk to us. And we said, do you know how much Jesus loves you? He sent us all the way from Canada to talk to you. And we found out quickly that Charity was a Christian. And Charity had been praying for months that God would send her a Bible. And it's amazing how the Lord would use us, that he ordained that moment. We were on a dirt road. We didn't know where we were. Somewhere in Africa. And God knew that we would meet and bring her a Bible because her husband was a Muslim and he forbid her from attending church. And she had no way to grow in her faith. And we saw daily, I mean daily, multiple times, these absolute miracle encounters that only God could have arranged. Can we have the next slide?
Cindy and I have done a number of these presentations. She's supposed to hold it together here because then I can't hold it together. Maybe this is time for some humor. I do want to share something. This was a very common occurrence where we would go into the street and we'd have people coming up to us. I want a Bible. I want a Bible. And, you know, at first you can see where the people didn't know what it was, but it was free and they wanted something. So I remember one particular day we didn't have a lot of scriptures with us. So this one man kept on me and he said, I want a Bible. I want a Bible. And I said, sir, I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, oh, I know Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And I said, fantastic. Today we don't have a lot of Bibles. I want to focus on those folks that don't know Christ. And he says, I don't know Jesus. Can I have a Bible? And I thought, wow, we need to understand these folks. I have this slide on here. I mean, I'm kind of a soccer guy. I kind of grew up young playing the game and broke my heart when I walked into these neighborhoods. And very, let me be clear on this, limited opportunities for us to do something practical like we did for the one lady and giving her some food and some water. And this was one of those occasions where I asked my team leader, it was the end of the day, we were done, and I'm watching these boys, and they got this field, and they got a coach, and they don't have a ball. And I'm like, where can I get you guys a ball? And they led me through all these homes and streets, and we get to this market, and I bought them a soccer ball for $6 or something, and it was just a nice moment to practically do something for them. Next slide, please. Here's another church. We talked about very simple, right? We show up at this church this particular day and go out with them into the streets. And this is when it really hits home. And we heard a sermon because we went to a church service there for a couple times. But the one pastor, very passionate, said, church is not a monument. And while this is beautiful, and we've got a beautiful building too down on Second Line, it's a movement. He said, church is not a monument, it's a movement. It's the body coming together, and this is great. But these people, they have nothing. And, I mean, this is it. This is wide open. It's right in the middle of the town. And yet you walk in, and they're praying, and they're full of joy, and they're singing. And you know what? All of that, and yet they have this burden to see, like, these people, millions of people, 13 million people in the country, that they just want to see them come to Christ. And they know they've been entrusted with the gospel. And it's an obligation and a burden for them just to go out. And very encouraging to see this church. Next slide. This is just a typical example. For whatever reason, God had aligned us with a lot of young folks. So when we showed up at churches, it's a very typical team that we go out with into the streets. Very encouraging for us to see young people with their faith and just want to come out and want to share the good news. Next slide.
Most of the time when we went out, crowds would just keep coming and coming and coming, and we didn't have to work very hard to find people. We try to keep the Bibles hidden so that we could share with them and offer them a chance to pray if they wanted to and then hand the Bibles out. But this particular day, Anthony and I were just walking through kind of like a little rural village, and we got to a house, and I started talking to them, but we could hear this raging fire, and we could see the smoke. So here's the fire behind the house, and we said to them, there's a fire right behind your house? And they, yeah, that's okay. What do you have to say? They just wanted to listen. So I said, okay. I started to share with them, you know, do you know where you'll go when you die? And Anthony stood on the other side and kept watching the fire so that their house wasn't consumed. And it was no big deal to them. And if you just go to the next picture, you can see the charred ground, how close it got to their house. But that's a regular occurrence. They didn't seem to think it was a big deal. But it was those little mercies every day that the Lord just protected us. If you could go to the next slide. So this particular day, you can see behind there, it's just an open field. We were running late that morning, and the bus dropped Anthony and I off, and we were with, I think, three people, and we had 1,000 Bibles, and we had, I don't know, maybe an hour. And we thought, we're in an open field with 1,000 Bibles. We'll never be able to give them away, which was never a problem in Zambia. And the people we were with said, oh no, don't worry. So we carried all the boxes across the field and set them down. And I took a picture immediately because the people started coming. And you can see a chair right by the Bible where Anthony is holding it. Within minutes, I was on that chair sharing the gospel with about 150 people. And Anthony was on the other side of the field standing on boxes talking to probably the same number of people. And they bowed their head and we told them, you know, if you would like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, we invite you to pray. And we were very clear that when you're praying this prayer, you can repeat after us, but if you don't mean it, the Bible's very clear, if you don't mean it deeply in your heart and you're not surrendering your life to Him, then they're just words and they don't mean anything. And people bowed their heads, masses of people, and praying the sinner's prayer. And then it was time to give out the Bibles. That was a scary scene. It was a mob. We just stepped back and 1,000 Bibles were gone in minutes. And we were led by the leader that we were with, took us into the market just so we could be safe so that people wouldn't come wanting a Bible. But it was very typical that there would be mobs after for the Bibles. Next slide.
You know, one particular day, typically we would show up at a church, the Bibles would already have been there, right? So they're there, we show up, we meet them, and then we hit the streets in teams. And one particular day, we show up at the church, and they're so excited, and we get off our bus pulls away, and the church, the pastor comes out with his team and says, so good to see you guys, and where are the Bibles? And we looked at them and said, are they not here? No, you guys were supposed to bring them. And this was one of those times where we thought, you know, kind of devastated, and it was almost like we're so accustomed to just sharing the gospel and saying, here's a free gift, and you just wanted to give them that free gift. And that particular afternoon, we didn't have that free gift with us, and we said, but we have the gospel, right? And so we're in Christ, we know the gospel, and we share it. And probably one of the most impactful days for us, because we didn't have the free gift, but we encountered folks in the streets, and we just shared the gospel, and we saw people come to Christ that particular day. And so Word of God, Spirit of God, people of God. It's why the New Testament church grew. There's no rocket science to it. And I think sometimes this side of the world, we get discouraged. We don't see folks seeking God. We've got things pretty good this side of the continent. And over there, they don't. And they are seeking and they are open to something and really receptive to the gospel. Next slide. This is just a very typical a taxi. So there's these vans and they're always jammed. And I just took a picture from the back. Next slide.
We were in it.
This one particular day, Pastor Austin. So as we explained before, our days are very structured, right? So we go up, show up at the church, 8:39, be back at a location for our bus to pick us up at noon. And then we're back, new location afternoon, and finish off our day. Well, Pastor Austin knew this. He says, I'm taking you into the market in my city. And we told him, 11:45, have that taxi come back to pick us up. And so we saw him with the conversation. So we were out in his market. This is a very typical scene. Just crowds of people so receptive, hearing the gospel, accepting it, praying with them. And so 11:45 comes. We see our taxi pull in. We said, wow, this is great. I mean, we're in Zambia. Everything's organized. It's on time. We see Pastor Austin step out, see him chatting with them, and then the taxi pulls away and is gone. And we're like, we got to get back to our spot by noon. And we knew it was a 15-minute drive.
You can actually see the taxi driving away. We didn't realize when we took the picture, the blue van with the white roof. We didn't realize that that was our ride home, leaving.
And so here you have a man that's got such a burden, right, for his neighborhood, where his church is. And he saw the how receptive his people were. And he basically was just trying to keep us there. You can't go. He sends the taxi away, and we're like, oh, boy. And so sure enough, God, like I said, another God moment, we said, well, we have to head back. I mean, we couldn't stay walking down the street praying, God, send us a van or a car or something. Sure enough, a guy's with his baby in a van, drives by empty. I don't even remember, did he stop on his own? I don't know. We flagged him down, can we get a ride? And sure enough, he takes us back.
We had some opportunities to visit orphanages as well, and this was the Village of Hope, and it's actually funded by the Pentecostal Assemblies in Canada, so we were able to come there and bring Bibles. And there's different organizations similar to this. So it's basically a widowed woman lives in a home and raises 6 to 8 children that have been orphaned as her own. And they're educated there and they live there. They have chores there. And there were members of our team that their churches had supported this. So we had team members from Manitoba, and one of the homes inside this village was called the Manitoba House. And there was another couple from Newfoundland, and they got to visit the Newfoundland House. So it was really cool to partner with so many different Christian organizations and to see what a huge influence the country of Canada has had on Zambia. This final slide, so we spent a solid week in Lusaka, which is the capital of Zambia, and then we moved up to the Copper Belt, and we stayed in Ndola, that was our base, and then we went to all the little towns and villages there. This was our ride. We were driving to Livingston. We were going to fly back home. We were out of Bibles. We were heading to Livingston, and it was the end of the mission. So we had drove for about, for the morning, and we'd stopped at this gas station pizza restaurant, and we had eaten, and one of our team members went into the washroom and met a guy and gave him a Bible, which none of us knew about. We didn't even know he had any Bibles left. Well, we hit the road, and we were driving, and We had been driving for about an hour, and finally our bus driver said, I need to pull over. This guy behind me keeps signaling. Now he's pulling his vehicle out. He's motioning that we need to pull over. I don't know what's wrong. So we pulled the bus over, and I took this photo from inside the bus. So Craig, our leader, is on the right. He's employed by Gideon's. And he's shaking the hand. We found out this man's name is Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel was back at the gas station pizza parlor an hour earlier, and he was in the washroom, and he saw that a free Bible was given away. And Emmanuel is a believer. And while Emmanuel has a car and has a vehicle, he doesn't have access to God's word, and he so desperately wanted a Bible that he followed us on the highway for an hour. And when Craig came out, he said, I heard you gave away a Bible. Could I have a Bible? And as only the Lord can do, there was a Bible left to give to Emmanuel. It was a life-changing mission for us. Anthony always says it was an accelerator for our faith. And, you know, we just have newfound boldness now that we're back at home. But you don't need to go to Africa. You just need to go to your school. Just need to go to work. Just need to live in your neighborhood. And you just need to share your faith and share the joy that is within you. I'm going to leave it with Anthony. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ann. Oh, hon, did you take the Bible? I need the Bible.
I want a Bible.
We do want to spend some time in God's Word, and if you have a copy of God's Word with you today, I'm just going to be reading from Matthew's Gospel in 22, and then we're going to move to 28. In 22, starting at 34, and 5 verses from there. But I mentioned it at the front end, and I know for us and for myself, I've been a believer now for 20 years. So I'm approaching that time in my life where I've been almost a believer as long as I've been a non-believer. So I was 24 when I came to Christ. I'm 44 today. And that's the one thing as a believer. You want to see your faith grow, and you want to become more mature. And there's a reason why in God's word he talks about the greatest commandment. And, you know, the Pharisees were looking to stump Jesus. He had already silenced the Sadducees, and they asked him, you know, which is the greatest commandment? And so let me read from Matthew 22, starting at 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, Which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know, I think of a trip like this, and I think of our faith, I think of the gospel that we've been entrusted with. I'm starting to realize more and more that if you don't got this relationship with the Lord figured out, and if you're not investing more time in this relationship before your children, before your spouse, that you will not grow, and you will not grow to the rate that God would like you to grow. And there's a reason why that he summed it up this way. And there's a reason why he ranked them this way. And so you've got to figure that out. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So if you're going to throw your energies into any relationship this side of heaven, that you'd ought to throw it all into that one. And then out of that, you will become a better evangelist. You will become a better spouse. You will be a better father and mother. You'll be a better coworker. Everything will flow out of that. And I know for us, it was like, why do we want to go? Why do we want to go on this trip? Because God has entrusted us with the gospel. So he saved us. He's given the means to go there, to spend our money and go and share the gospel and bring seeds into that country and plant them and let God do the growing. And the interesting thing is, if we need supernatural help, which we do, we need God's grace to love him, and how much more grace do we need to love our neighbors? And so for us, I can tell you, we're not trying to sugarcoat anything. And this was not hard walking down the street in Zambia as a white person. And so you walk down the street, they all want to listen to what you have to say. And they all want to hear the gospel and not so much this side of the world. And so this is a tough place. It's tough soil. But the word does the work, right? The word saves, and you just trust God. It's not... Success in witnessing is not leading someone to Christ. It is just being obedient. So you've got the gospel. He's entrusted you with it. Share it. And you trust God to do the saving. And I'm going to flip over to Matthew 28. And so this kind of goes hand in hand, right? The great commandment, love God, love people. And then Jesus, so he dies, rises, and he comes back. And so these are the marching orders, right, for the church. So I'm just going to read from Matthew 28, starting at 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came, and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, when we go on a trip like this or when we share our faith, this ought to give us some confidence, right? So Jesus comes back. So he dies. He comes back. And what does he tell them? Here are your marching orders. Go and make disciples. Baptize them and then teach them. I grossly underestimate the power of the word and the power of God. And I know we all do. We grossly underestimate the power of God. So he comes back. He says, go and make disciples. And by the way, all authority has been given to me. All authority. And by the way, I'm not going to leave you. Ought to give us some confidence this side of heaven. You know, I read a book a number of years ago, and it was called Share Your Faith Without Fear. And the one line that just stuck with me was, there's two things that you're not going to be able to do in heaven. One is sin, and one is share your faith. Now, which one do you think God leaves us here to do? And I said, wow, just make it as simple as possible. Share your faith and sin. Can't do those things. Which one do you think we should do here? You know, the New Testament was all about ordinary folks sharing the gospel. There was no mega churches. There was no great music. There was no great evangelism. It was just ordinary folks sharing the gospel in the street and trusting God's word that it would save people, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate someone's heart. And we saw that there firsthand on the streets. Now, we've left that country, and we're hearing crazy reports. Early estimates are that 20,000 people have made decisions, have accepted Christ. We're hearing reports from churches that attendance is up from 50%, 100% in some locations. And so, you know, we often forget about it. We come back, and we're saying, oh, what a trip. And then we forget about our brothers and sisters over there that have now got to disciple these baby Christians. And there's a lot of work in that, and they're going to need God's grace and help in that. But the good news is that God's got them, and he's theirs now. He's their children, and they have God's word. And so we pray that they continue to grow in their faith. And thank you for listening today. I'm going to ask the guys to run just some slides now, because there's so many photos, and it's just about 3 minutes to a song. God bless you. Thank you for supporting the Gideons. Thank you for having Cindy and I here. And we look forward to seeing you in November.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around, caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know, and now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling, and I owe it all to grace. It's so much worth living in your world. Save me what you did. With advice, no one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill, and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give. So let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. The shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save me what you did for. Be the light. Whoa, whoa.
Well, thank you, Anthony and Cindy, for being here today, along with your team that represent the Gideons. And if you would like to contribute to the Gideon ministry and help to buy more Bibles so that more teams can go out and give a Bible to those who are underprivileged and don't have their own Bible, we do have some baskets out on the table beside the Gideon presentation for you to be able to contribute to the ministry. Just the other day, my wife and I were in McDonald's, and we met a person that we know from St. Joe. And a number of years ago, he was going through a bit of a hard time. And I worked at the steel plant at that time, and he was working there as well. And we got talking, and I gave him a New Testament. And I said, "Bill, read this." I said, "If you want peace, you'll find it in the Bible." And he reminded me the other day. I had forgotten all about giving him the New Testament, but he reminded me the other day about the fact that I had given him a New Testament, and he read it. He said, "I read it more than once, in fact." And so, you know, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and we should, yes, have boldness to preach the Word of God to those and teach the Word of God to those who we come in contact with in a loving and graceful way. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, today we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the power of it. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Gideons and what they're doing worldwide to get this wonderful word into the hands of people that seem to hunger for it. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in our mission field here at home to be faithful to your word and to live it and to share the gospel with those that we come in touch with. Bless us the rest of this day, Lord, we pray, the picnic and all that's going to take place further on in this day. We commit it to you and thank you for your presence with us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and thank you for coming today.